This morning's scripture comes to us from the book of Isaiah. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." It's a stop on most tourist itineraries, the Coochee Tunnels. In the photos that advertise it, you see smiling faces popping out of the ground like little hobbits emerging from their underground homes. Who wouldn't want to see a system of underground tunnels? It reminded me of the tunnels of Cappadocia in Turkey, or heck, even Tom Sawyer's Island at Disneyland. But this was a calculated attempt to sanitize the site, to make light of the original purpose of these tunnels. It was not the home of the Byzantine monks, nor was the site of children playing. They wouldn't lie about its purpose, but they wouldn't tell the whole story either. We arrived by bus. It was hot and humid. The Mekong Delta is like a jungle. In fact, it's not like a jungle, it is a jungle. The winding road that took us to the location was beautiful. We got out and waited to find our guide. There in the gathering area were tanks, airplanes, helicopters, all with U.S. flags on the sides. Everybody was crawling all over, taking photos. Molly jumped up to do the same. It was easy to think this was just a museum of old things, but an eerie feeling took over me, because there was only one reason why these helicopters, planes, and tanks were there. It wasn't like the airplane at Lions Park. Now, it's true, I don't know the story of the airplane at Lions Park, but I crawled up and down it as a kid. But these were different. People were climbing in and out, getting on top, posing in triumphant photos. I was at once struck with disgust and, worse, a deep feeling of sadness. I thought about what these hunks of metal had been through, what they had seen, how they got there. They were downed. Someone piloted them. Someone drove them. What happened to those people? I don't know. Tears began streaming down my face, but I instantly wiped them away so my children wouldn't see. The somberness of the place took over me. All I could see was Dan Armstrong's face and imagine him in one of those choppers. I thought about my uncle and his time in Nam, a subject that was always glossed over. Only until recently did we ever begin to fathom the effects it had on him. I looked at the jungle that surrounded us, the tourists, and I realized the day. It was Memorial Day. We were at the Coochee Tunnels in Vietnam, on the very day our own country would be observing Memorial Day. I don't think it gets any more powerful than that. It was surreal. The entire experience was surreal. My senses were heightened. My emotions were heightened. My thoughts were both present and very, very distant. Yes, it was surreal. We began the tour, and like most of our trip, there weren't many Americans around. But in this case, there actually was a group of college graduates, a bunch of fraternity brothers. They didn't seem to recognize what day it was. And I don't even fault them, because you hardly know what day it is when you're on vacation. And besides, it was 14 hours earlier in California. I guess it wasn't actually even that day. It was Sunday night at home in that moment in time. But I couldn't help but think that these young men should recognize the significance of the day, the power of this place. I made sure that Molly understood its significance, even though a four-year-old couldn't and shouldn't fathom it. But I knew I did. Only an Australian seemed to understand why I was so verklempt. The system was ingenious. For miles, there were underground tunnels with hidden trap doors so the smaller-bodied Vietnamese could easily slide in and hide away, seemingly disappearing into thin air. And then they could make their way back to the barracks and actually live underground. There were all sorts of ways to trap their enemies. Pits with daggers that reminded me of Indiana Jones. Other trapdoor caverns that would allow one to fall in but make it impossible to crawl out. The system of tunnels was such that if a larger soldier from enemy lines crawled in, he would get stuck underground and be unable to crawl out. Well, the Vietnamese had all sorts of ways to escape, even crawling out and swimming through the Delta. You couldn't help but appreciate the ingenuity that went into all of this, but there were big pieces of the story missing. The Australian and I discussed this, and he relayed to me that the museum, called something like the Museum of American War Crimes, told a very specific version of what occurred. Now, it is clear that this was a complicated, complicated war. It always has been. And I think the truth is, most war is. It is always told by the experience of the side who is telling the story. The bad things that were done. And they weren't a lie. There were bad things done. But we were hearing mostly one side. And while the tour we were experiencing didn't completely villainize Americans, it did seem to ignore the fact that we were present. We were hearing this. We were walking through, imagining our own people on Memorial Day of all days. Ugh, it was powerful. I was struck over and over again, thinking about the kids I grew up with, the Vietnamese boat people who came in waves, some literal waves, along with the waves of immigration as refugees made the States their new home. As a child, I was oblivious to the situation my friends had gone through. Some themselves, others, their parents, who had fled for fear for their lives. I was aware of how beautiful their country is, how much they left when they started over to live in a small, cramped apartment in my own community, right here in Orange County. And even though I can only get a glimpse of what they experienced, I begin to realize how privileged my childhood was. I mean, I knew my parents had their struggles, but I feel like I am continuously pulling back layers upon layers, and my adolescent self is surprised to see what my peers were going through. But my adult self gets it. And yet at the time, I was so blind to the deeper experiences my friends must have been struggling with. I walked through this strange place with the memories of one of my high school best friends, Tu Nguyen, in my mind, holding her image, along with that of my uncle and Dan Armstrong. And all the young men who were drafted away from the safety of their homes to go fight in this jungle. I went through most of the tunnels. It was easy for four-year-old Molly. But I was 60 pounds heavier than I am right now. And even if I were to do it again, I am sure it would be just as difficult. Because it was hot, and it was humid, and it was dark. One of the tunnels in particular was long, and it got narrower and narrower. I began to get scared that I would be stuck, imagining that system, the strategy of trapping the larger enemy, while their slim bodies easily slipped through. It was getting harder and harder to catch my breath. I turned on the light of my phone so I could see ahead of me. The others on the tour were also getting scared, and they were cussing in English. And I wished that I could turn them off so Molly wouldn't hear them. But at the same time, there was some comfort in knowing that others were feeling as nervous as I was. We were in this together. But mostly, I just wanted all of us out. I couldn't help but think about everything we'd just learned. That some 50 years earlier, they had a process for trapping foreigners in those tunnels. And here I was, stuck in a tunnel, wondering if it was going to be happening to me in that moment. It was irrational, I know, but I couldn't help but wonder, what if they are trapping me now? And my feelings of anxiety rose up. They were real. It was only a small hint of what actual soldiers must have felt, but it was a window. I was hot, and I was scared, and I was stifling to breathe. Claustrophobia as the walls literally narrowed around us. Fears of what would come next. I finally got out of that tunnel. Breathing heavily, sweating immensely, face red. It was a powerful Memorial Day. I have never had such a powerful Memorial Day, and I probably never will. Today, it's hard to believe that a year ago I was in Vietnam, and now I'm just here, stuck in my house. But I'm so very aware of how grateful I am to be housed. To have the safety of this place in the land I call home, a place where refugees have found sanctuary and an opportunity to start over. Perhaps like what I experienced in Vietnam, the story is colored through our own American lenses. We know too well that walls have literally and figuratively been built to keep refugees out. The way we have rewritten our history to make us the victors or the victims, whichever is more advantageous. Certainly, we are not guilt-free in any of this. I came away with a deeper understanding of the Vietnam War. Not just a rational understanding, but something at a deep physical level. I could see the jungle. I could feel the heat. I was nearly stuck in a tunnel. I don't know what it was like to go to war, to live through a draft, to fear for my son or my brother, that anxiety of waiting for my number to come up, and then the worst, leaving family and friends and everything familiar and normal for the absolute opposite of normal, war. And for some, death. Because of those who have lived through all of that, and most especially because of those who did not live through all of that, we must observe days like today to memorialize our lives, but not to idealize war. For we are called to be peacemakers. Not in some bury your head in the sand kind of way, but in a work for peace. Seek justice. Manifest the kingdom. Or the kingdom. The realm of kinship where all our family all belong. That kind of way. To turn swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks and AK-47s into guitars. To my surprise, that's actually a thing. I looked it up. It's the escopetara, which is the signature instrument of Cesar Lopez. Who knew? But this is our call. Spears into pruning hooks. AK-47s into guitars. And yet, this is what we are called to do. It is our Judeo-Christian call to transform instruments of war into that which can feed, that which can heal, and that which can bring joy. To learn the ways of God by studying the path of peace. By following the man who lived in such a way. This is our call. This is our challenge. That we might learn war no more. Come. Let us go up to the mountain. Amen.